In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Eight years ago, almost to the day, I was sitting in my car right out there in the parking lot where some of you are parked, stunned by the prospect that our lives might be violently uprooted once again. I had been here for a year. Jeff had been rector for 15 months or so, and suddenly it felt like our world was turning upside down. Because we had just gotten the news on August 2nd, 2017, that the Supreme Court of South Carolina had handed down a ruling in favor of the Episcopal Church. And that ruling declared that essentially all church property belonged not to the local congregation, not to the local diocese, but to the national church, which meant that we would have to hand this property over and leave. And as I sat there in my car, I confess to you all, I found it difficult to see beyond the frightful prospect of losing my job, our house, and the new life that we had just begun. Friends, how do we respond when fear comes knocking? God's message is clear. He wants us to live our lives not cowering in a car in a parking lot, held captive by fear, but pressing forward in faith. I wonder if you happen to notice that the message that was echoed in all of our passages this morning. In Genesis, the Lord God said to Abram, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And in Luke, God the Son said to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's great pleasure to give you the kingdom." And even the psalm concludes in the same spirit, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust his holy name." Fear not, fear not, fear not. In Genesis, God was speaking to Abram's specific fear that he and Sarai were coming to the end of their lives. And it seemed impossible that God was going to be able to fulfill his promise to make Abraham's descendants a great nation because they didn't have any children. And in Luke, Jesus is speaking not to a specific fear, but he's speaking to his disciples' fears more broadly. He's speaking to all of those challenges and difficulties that are part of this life. Both the struggles that we face as followers of Jesus, as well as the challenges that are common to every human life. Friends, we all know that life can be overwhelming. Into those inevitable fears, God says, "Do not be afraid." But if you're anything like me, your immediate response then is, "How? Lord, how do we press back against those fears that always seem to come knocking? Those fears that come around when our livelihood is in jeopardy, when our relationships begin to break down, when our hopes and dreams seem to be slipping through our fingers, when the dark pall of despondency seems to shut out all the light. What are we supposed to do then, Lord?" Friends, the collect, that is the prayer that is assigned for us today, provides us with the answer. Today's collect gives us a tweet-sized summary of the secret to facing our fears. It's a prayer that Brian will pray for us in just a few moments. Listen to how it begins. "Almighty and everlasting God, give unto us the increase of faith, hope, and charity." What will empower us to face down the fears that come knocking at our door? Friends, the spirit of faith, hope, and charity. Faith is trust in God. Faith means taking God at his word, so that when God says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," faith is the ability to trust that it is so, even if we can't yet see it. But as we all know, those words, "fear not," they're a whole lot easier to read than to live. How do we get this faith? Well, here's the funny thing about God. God gives us the dignity of participating in what he wants to bring about. It reminds me of the first tricycle that we bought for our daughter. It was one of those tricycles, maybe you all have seen them, where there's the tricycle, but then there's this handle that comes out of the back that enables parental intervention. So our daughter could pedal and she could steer, but if she started to veer out into the street, we, her parents, we could apply a little pressure to that handle and bring her back into safety. Or if she was pedaling along and her little legs began to get tired, we could apply a little bit of pressure to the back of that handle and just give her a little oomph so that she could continue on the way. All the while, she was learning to steer. She was learning to avoid the dangers of street traffic. She was building up her little muscles, but we still had our hands on the handle. So even though we, her parents, were ultimately in charge, guiding her, assisting her, empowering her, she had the dignity of actively participating in the journey. She was no longer a passive passenger in a stroller, but an active participant in our daily walk. Just as God gives us the dignity of participating in his work of fostering faith, hope, and charity. And so even though we are asking God in today's collect to give us these virtues, and even though it is his delight to cultivate these virtues within us, friends, we have a role to play. So in terms of faith, one of the most important things that we can do to participate with God as he cultivates faith within us is to be doggedly determined to be actively engaged in worship. When we gather week by week the Word of God, the liturgy, the music, the sacraments, all remind us that God is trustworthy, that God is a man of his word, that God is always faithful to his people. Now, this morning we read a portion of Psalm 33, and we picked up at verse 10, but I want you to listen to how the psalm actually begins in verse 1. You don't have it in front of you, so you're going to have to use your listening ears, but listen to how this psalm begins. It is a call to worship. "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. It is fitting for the just to be thankful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing praises unto him with a 10-string lute. Sing unto him a new song. Make skillful melody and cry aloud with joy. For the word of the Lord is true, and all his works are faithful." Psalm 33 is expressing this truth, that when the people of God gather together in worship, we are reminded week by week that the word of the Lord is true, that all his works are faithful. Friends, our worship fosters a spirit of faith, but only if we are active participants in that worship. Now, believe me, I know what it's like to come here on a Sunday morning and to have all manner of nagging thoughts and distracting fears which work against our active engagement in what's happening here. I get it. But friends, we need to persevere, because the spirit of faith is nurtured through our active worship of God. This is why Jesus spoke these very pointed words to his disciples and to us here in Luke 12. Let me read them again for you. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home for the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Friends, actively engage in worship. Come ready to listen to the word of God. Bring a pencil with you and listen intently and underline anything in the bulletin or in your Bible that stands out. Bring a journal and write in it if that would help you to stay actively engaged. But friends, come with an expectant heart. For the Lord wants to meet us here and to cultivate a spirit of faith within us. When we gather for worship, we are reminded that God is faithful. Worship fosters faith. And faith is an antidote to fear. Hope. If the Red Bull Energy Drink Company came out with a product that could fill us with hope, we'd all be addicted. Hope has enormous power. Those of you who listen to Nikki Gumbel's Bible in a Year will have heard Nikki quote the Roman Catholic Cardinal Rinero Cantalamessa. Cardinal Cantalamessa gives this beautiful image for the spiritual virtue of hope. Listen with your mind and picture it in your mind. Listen to what he said, wrote. Faith, hope, and charity are like three sisters. Two of them are grown, and one is a small child. They go forward together, hand in hand, with the child, hope, in the middle. Looking at them, it would seem that the bigger ones are pulling the little child along, but it is the other way around. It is the little girl who is pulling the two bigger ones. It is hope that pulls forward faith and charity. Without hope, everything would stop. Friends, hope is vital if we're going to move forward in the face of all the fears that we're going to encounter in this life. But we are so often short on hope because we've not been paying attention to God's faithful, ongoing, daily provision in our lives. We're not awake to it. If we will stop and notice all that God has done and thank him, then our gratitude for the past, you see, will nurture hope for the future. Here's a practice that we can start today to join in God fostering a spirit of hope within us. Set aside a time every day, to pause and walk through the events of the previous day. And take note of God's faithful provision for you and for those whom you love. And thank him. Thank him for each one. I challenge you for 1 month, commit to writing down your prayers, both your requests and your gratitude to everything that God has done the day before. In fact, I'd recommend that you commit to writing down at least 12 things that God has done for you the day before and thank him for those things. And then at the end of the week, read back through your prayers and beside each answered prayer, write the words, thank you. Friends, our hope so often grows dim because we fail to notice what God is doing in our lives and in the lives of those whom we love. After all, isn't it just common courtesy when someone does something for us to say, thank you? When we pause each day to consider what God does for us, to thank him for his provision, then his spirit will foster in our spirit a spirit of hope that God will make a way somehow. And this hope, my friends, is an antidote to fear. Now, before I move on to charity, I want to go back to that 2017 court ruling. I am acutely aware that while God's provision for us here at St. Philip's has meant by God's grace that we've been able to keep this property, thanks be to God. But I am acutely aware that that has not been the case for many other persons whom we love. When I think about the Reverend Will Clauber and the people of Good Shepherd in West Ashley who lost their property, when I think about the Reverend Ken Weldon, who a few weeks after moving his family out to Camp St. Christopher, shortly thereafter had to move back to Florence when we lost that property, when I think about the Reverend Jason Varnador and his sweet little family out there on the edge of the diocese in Cherall who lost their property, when I think about the faith of those brothers and the people they serve, when I think about them gathering for worship week by week in the face of what must at times feel like insurmountable obstacles, their faithfulness and their hope is humbling and inspiring. And when I see how God has provided for them, it fills me with a deep sense of hope. Friends, if only we will wake up and pay attention to God's provision and respond with thanksgiving, then God will take our gratitude and will foster within us a spirit of hope. Faith, hope, and lastly, charity. Isn't it interesting that Jesus goes directly from "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," right to "Sell your possessions and give to the needy"? Isn't that interesting? What's the connection between "fear not" and charity? Well, friends, the answer is simple. Charity, acts of charity, they are a spiritual, positive feedback loop. That is, acts of charity build within us a love for God and a love for His kingdom, which inspires us to move further in acts of charity. Charity is a positive feedback loop. And as our love for God grows, our love for His kingdom grows, well, what begins to happen is as that love grows, well, it begins to push our fears out. There's just not any room for our fears anymore. We see this all the time with our home missions team. The team will organize an outreach event, say with one of our partners, like Hope to Home Ministry. A parishioner goes and serves. They begin to form a bond of affection with the persons who run that ministry, which in turn then motivates them to want to go back and serve even more. And as they invest in caring for those in need, God fosters within them a deep love for His mercy. As they participate in God's provision for the needy, fear begins to lose its grip because they can see with their own two eyes the Lord cares and provides. Charity is a spiritual, positive feedback loop. To give another example closer to home, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be vacating this building and moving next door to the Academy building. That building has been made possible by the charity of members of this congregation. And I hope I'm not being overly rude in pointing this out, but many of those who have given of their time, talent, and treasure are way too advanced in age to have children who will benefit. They haven't done it for themselves. They've done it for future generations, little girls and boys whom they will never know this side of glory. Same is true for everything that's happening just up there at the church. Every rod of scaffolding is a piece of charity in order that that space might be a space where future generations can worship the living God, can receive faith and purpose from Him. Charity, self-sacrificial love for the sake of others. It nurtures within us a deeper love for God and for His kingdom. It's a positive feedback loop. And this love presses out all manner of fears. Sacrificial love begets deeper sacrificial love. Faith, hope, charity. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May the Lord grant us the grace to participate with him. Through worship, gratitude, and charity, faith strengthens, hope grows, love deepens, and fear loses its grip. That August day 8 years ago began with great fear. But God is faithful. We have only to open our eyes and look around to see that it is so. Almighty and everlasting God, give unto us the increase of faith, hope, and charity. Amen.